Hey y'all, this is Eugene, your rambling iOS dev, and today we're going to ramble about mental health in tech. This episode was requested by my Twitter friend Kim, and before we get started, I would like to make a disclaimer. This episode is not a clinical advice. I am not licensed to give anyone clinical advice on behavioral health in the United States. If you need help, please talk to a professional, don't rely on this podcast, and just my opinion, my experience, based on what I know, talk to a professional if you need help. So, with this disclaimer out of the way, let's get started. I'm very excited about this topic because when I got this request, I was thinking, it's actually really cool. It would be really, really cool for me to talk about mental health because I have formal education and I have experience with mental health. And I see a lot of mental health problems or behavioral health problems in tech that are very specific in tech, that are very typical for tech industry. Yeah, I was thinking it would be a good topic to talk about. I do have a YouTube video on behavioral health in tech that I made a while ago. But I think behavioral health is very important topic to talk about and bring awareness. And every year, I would say every month, I learn something new about behavioral health, and I hear different stories. I see different journeys, people in tech. So let's talk about it. When it comes to behavioral health, I would separate this topic into two subtopics. So there is a general behavioral health, which includes behavioral health disorders like depression, anxiety, eating disorders, stuff like that. It's not tech industry specific, and there are disorders that are very specific to tech industry. For example, imposter syndrome, it's very specific to tech industry, or can be specific to tech industry. Yes, other industries, other people in other industries may experience that too, but it is very, 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 very close to tech industry. So, and a lot of people in tech industry experience imposter syndrome. And anxiety. Anxiety in tech has very specific nature that we're going to talk about a little bit later. So, let's talk about general behavioral health. And as we all know, that people in tech, they're not immune to behavioral health problems. And people might have different behavioral health diagnoses or behavioral health problems. I would say tech industry is one of the industries that very well positioned in terms of taking care of your mental health issues, of your behavioral health. Of course, it depends on your employer and depends on the severity of your disorder. It depends on your coping mechanisms and how you establish that communication when you need to take care of yourself, when you need help. How do you establish that communication between your employer, your professional that you rely on, your family, and how you can organize that. But in general, the companies that I work for, and they were extremely understanding when it came to behavioral health. And I knew a person that worked at the same company that I work for, and that person experienced mental health problems or mental health crisis time to time. And my employer was extremely understanding, but on that person part, what was important that person communicated to the employer, like, hey, I might have certain issues or certain crisis or certain triggers. So if you see me doing X, Y, and Z, this is what's happening. This is what you should do. And it was extremely helpful because everybody knew what we are supposed to do in case something happened. We knew all the contact information that we should, or people that we should get in touch with if anything happens, or if we see something suspicious or something related to like certain condition. I can't really talk into details because I don't wanna expose that person. It's very private information. So, but with that being said, I think tech industry is more equipped to handle those type of problems. If we talk about other industries, for example, let's talk about hospitality and restaurant businesses. So in hospitality, people don't have insurance. And if you have certain condition, when you have to go home or when you have to take time off, it's on you. It's on your expenses. So you're not going to get paid for that. And certain industries that are not just equipped well to handle certain behavioral health crisis or people with certain behavioral health condition. And I think tech industry is extremely privileged, and we are extremely lucky that we can take care of that in tech industry, that we're way better off when it comes to behavioral health. So let's talk about industry-specific behavioral health problems. When it comes to tech industry-induced behavioral health issues or behavioral health problems, I would say in tech industry, it's really typical to have imposter syndrome. Now let's dissect imposter syndrome. For me, imposter syndrome is a combination of anxiety, very specific anxiety, and low professional or professional low self-esteem. It's the combination of those two. So the combination of low professional self-esteem and anxiety with a very specific nature give us an imposter syndrome. So if you are not familiar with imposter syndrome, basically what it means, you are very successful, you are in the tech industry, you have a job as a software developer or engineer or designer, you are in tech already, but you feel like you don't deserve your job, or you're not good enough, or you're not professional enough, and you feel like an imposter. And it's very common in tech. I sometimes experience that, and many other developers experience that. And like I said, one of the components of imposter syndrome is anxiety, and anxiety of a very specific nature. So many people in tech industry came from non-traditional background, non-tech background, and they have that experience, and those people have that experience to be broke or not to have that financial liberty as other people would have in tech industry. So that anxiety comes from the place where people think, or from a thought that you are not will be able to land another job in tech industry, or you will lose your current job in tech industry, and you won't be able to find another job, and you would have to go back to your previous lifestyle, and you will lose your financial liberty. And it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I experience that sometimes, especially when I'm looking for a job, and especially when I fail like 2-3 interviews in a row, and I start thinking like, can I land a job? Am I good enough? So this is very industry specific, because you went through so many obstacles and so many troubles to get into tech, and you're finally there, and it's understandable that it's really nerve-wracking to think of even the slightest possibility that for some reason you may lose your job and you will never land your job in tech ever again, and you would have to go back to your previous lifestyle. And it's scary. And it's scary because I don't miss the time when I was financially broke and I couldn't afford certain things and I couldn't take care of my family to the level that I can do it now. So it's very understandable. Other factors in tech industry can trigger certain dysphoria or anxiety in tech industry. For example, we know that software development is really stressful field. And we know that sometimes, majority of the time, you are getting stuck on, you can be very trivial things. And when you get stuck, it's the worst feeling. It's the worst feeling because you have your assignment, you have your task or your ticket, and it has to be done in a certain time frame, and you're getting stuck, and you're trying to do your work as quick as you possibly can, but there are certain obstacles that you can't really overcome as quickly as you can, and it can trigger your anxiety. It can trigger certain dysphoria. And by the way, there is a certain difference between depression and dysphoria. Dysphoria normally goes away after a certain period of time. Depression has tendency to last longer, and it's a clinical diagnosis. It's a disease. It's not a disorder. It's a disease, and it has to be addressed with a medical professional or a behavioral health professional, or sometimes both. Dysphoria is more so you are not in a good mood for several days or several weeks. It's still not quite a depression, but anyway, those factors can trigger like your anxiety or your dysphoria, and like you just don't feel good about the situation, and like you don't feel good about yourself. So, and it's just a part of our profession, and we all go through those kind of things. So let's talk about how to address those different issues that people might experience in behavioral health. So we talk about behavioral health and tech industry, general behavioral health, industry-specific behavioral health. So let's talk about how to handle those situations and how to cope with them. So when it comes to general behavioral health, I think it is important to have a very clear communication between you and your behavioral health professional or medical professional. So you have a plan how to tackle your mental health situation, and they will help you to navigate how to communicate with your employer, what to say, certain instructions, if you need to give people instructions, or organize certain accommodations if you need to, or work from home, or attend group therapy, and things like that. So very clear communication between you and your mental health professional and the medical professional, and communication with your employer. In many cases, you don't have to be specific and say, hey, like, I suffer from X, Y, and Z disorder, so that's why I would need to work from home time to time. Even though sometimes it would be a good strategy to address and say, hey, I have this issue and sometimes I need to work from home, or sometimes I would need to take time off. So it's really important to communicate and establish a healthy and safe communication between you and your employer. It may come with different forms and shapes, but it's really important so people know that people know what's going on, that if you're disappearing, it's not just you disappear just because you're lazy or you don't want to do the work or you're trying to interview at other companies. You are disappearing because you need that time to focus on yourself and deal with your issues at a time. When it comes to anxiety and imposter syndrome, what helped me is to track your progress, your individual progress. So what helps me, when I get in a really bad place with my anxiety, I start thinking, okay, where I was 4 years ago and where I'm at now, what journey I have to go through to get here. And also when I'm looking for a job, which is really frustrating and traumatic, every interview, I try to track what went well and what could be better. And both parts are important. What went well, you can see your progress. For example, you used to fail algorithms and data structures. You couldn't do anything with algorithms and data structures, but now you're not freezing and you do them a little bit better. And let's say you have no problem, or you handle better big O notation, just an example. Or certain types of algorithms are easier for you and you can do them better on the interview than others. It's a victory in comparison to before. Or certain iOS questions, you handle certain iOS questions better, or you do take-home projects way better and you get callback after your take-home project way more often than you used to. So you got better at iOS development. So it helps. And also when you analyze what is missing, you can work on that. You can work on your algorithms if you need better understanding of algorithms and data structures, or you can keep working on your iOS skills if your potential employer provides you detailed feedback, like, hey, your take-home project was as good, so those are the issues that we didn't like. So that helped. When you get stuck, it's really important to ask for help. It's really important to ask for help and ask questions. It's okay. Everybody understands that we all go through certain things in tech and we're not perfect. And sometimes when I lay out or when I talk about the issue that I'm stuck on with someone else, it helps me to figure out myself. If you heard of rubber duck technique, so it's basically when you have a rubber duck and you explain to that rubber duck your problem, and as you explain that problem to that rubber duck, you realize the solution. So it helps. Just talk about problem that you experience. It really helps. Pair programming, when you tackle an issue or a problem together with your colleague can have more experience or less experience. It doesn't matter. You have another engineer working with you that may help you to come up with a very interesting solution or a very interesting technical decision. So that also helps. Crowdsourcing. So if you're completely stuck and you need a solution and nobody in your company, or maybe you're in a situation when you can't ask anyone at your job like a certain question. For example, I had one take-home assignment and I got stuck on rather trivial stuff. I mean, it wasn't as trivial, but like at some point I didn't know what to do. I knew I was missing something very simple and I couldn't see what exactly I'm missing. So what I did, I went to one of the Slack communities, iOS Slack communities, and I asked people questions or asked people that question. And actually two people helped me with that solution. And what I did, I combined two approaches into my approach. I refactored it and made it my own. And you know what? It taught me so many lessons and it made me a better iOS developer. So crowdsource and ask people technical questions on Twitter or on your Slack community or iOS Slack community or whatever software development community that you're part of. Another way to handle that and address that is to have your support system, your professional support system. What I mean by that, it's really important to find your community, that helpful and healthy for you. So tech has many communities. iOS community has many communities. So find your community where you can talk about your challenges, your struggles to other people, and find that non-judgmental environment where people can welcome you. I know it can be a little challenging and depends on what type of development you're doing. You might have more or fewer resources for that, but it's really important to establish that circle of your friends or your community where you can share things. And it helps and it goes a long way. And it's a part of networking. It's good to know other people. It's good to hear what other people are going through. Because when you hear what other people are going through, you realize that your problem and your anxiety is not exactly as unique as you think it is. So find your community. And by the way, if you're an iOS developer and you're looking for a good community, iOS Dev Happy Hour is a great community to be in. I'm a part of their Slack, and so iOS Happy Hour, you can find announcements on Twitter. If you follow Alan at CodingCoding, I will provide the Twitter name in the description for this episode. You can follow him, and he will post an announcement regarding iOS Happy Hour, and you are more than welcome to register and join us. I think that community is really, really, really helpful and really supporting. So if you're looking for your community, for your iOS community, I think iOS Dev Happy Hour is that community that might be very helpful for you. And there are so many people that share their journeys and their stories about their mental health and what they're going through, that it is incredibly helpful for me. So I highly recommend that. So, and I think this is it. Mental health is a very important part of our lives. No matter what you do, no matter if you are a software developer or not, if you're in tech industry or not, it's really important to listen to your body and listen to your mind and provide plenty of self-care. It's really important to love yourself. And it's really important to focus on yourself. And I really appreciate you guys, all of you, y'all. So I need to use more inclusive language, I think, in my podcast and my YouTube channel. So I really appreciate y'all for listening, for being with me on this podcast, for letting me talk at you on my podcast. And I will talk at you in the next episode. Thank you. Until next time.